The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, after 12 long, painful weeks with only the Olympics to keep us going, the Premier League is back tonight with Manchester United facing Fulham at Old Trafford. Well, to preview the Premier League season, who the top four might be, who the top six might be, what stars to look out for, I'm joined by commentator and broadcaster from Off the Ball, Nathan Murphy, and Colm Buhig, also from Off the Ball. Good morning, Amorn. Gentlemen, first of all, colours to the mast. I'm a Manchester United fan. For my sins.
We're all neutral and Off the Ball. I think you'll know, Pat.
Yeah.
We get a lot of abusive messages when people think you're favouring one team over another.
Particularly when you're commentating.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Colm. No neutrality over here on this side of the table, Pat. Don't worry. I'm an out at Manchester United fan. As you know yourself. As we've talked about many times on this show.
We have indeed. All right. Now let's talk about the other sport that's on this weekend. Not a lot. We've got a strange women's football fixture.
Yeah, the Avenir Sports Cup final, it's the All-Ireland, so teams from the Airtricity League and teams from up north as well, but it is two Irish teams who are playing in the Shamrock Rovers and Galway United in Tallaght tomorrow. So, interesting in the build-up, Collie O'Neill, the Shamrock Rovers manager, has been talking about the fact that Irish sport hasn't really capitalised on the success of the women's team internationally. It is sort of Italia 90 again, that the international team happens separate to the domestic game when there's talk of funding, and now the pressure's on Olympic sports. Where's the money for women's football? And, you know, the crowds have increased slightly, but there's no great buzz around the domestic game at the moment. But tomorrow night in Tallaght, you would hope for a cup final that they'll get a big crowd. But there's still a hell of a long way to go domestically to replicate the success.
And of course, the Dublin Horse Show is on, and the set piece, the Aga Khan, this afternoon.
I've never been. Have you been?
Yeah, many times over the years.
Good
Not
day
in
out.
Recent years. Great day out. Yeah, great day out.
Are you going today?
No.
Ah.
No. Too busy. Too many things. Anyway, let's talk about the Premier League. And the first match of the Premier League is Fulham visiting Old Trafford.
Yeah, tonight. Yeah. And who knows about Eric Ten Hag's future, Pat, because we all thought he was going to leave. At the end of last season, Manchester United had their worst ever Premier League campaign, finished 8th, lost about 13 games in total. It became unsurprising when United lost, basically. That's how bad it got. And then one fixture changed everything, just like Mark Robbins saved Alex Ferguson's job in 1990. The performance in the FA Cup final against Manchester City was remarkable in its surprise as much as its quality.
But it was a strategic game plan from Eric Ten Hag.
Yeah, no out-and-out striker Bruno Fernandes is kind of a false nine, and there was a report the day before by Jacob Steinberg in The Guardian that Ten Hag was going to lose his job no matter, but the performance was so good and the results so seismic that he kind of had to stay.
And then we get a repeat in the Community Shield where they did finish nil-all at the end. And
it was 1-1. Yeah, 1-1 after full-time and then penalties decided for in City's favour. It was a decent game, but it was kind of like a game that this whole country kind of lost track of because of the Olympics, was happening that day. And United were fine and so were City, but there was a lot of players missing for both sides, never really telling of what's going to happen.
So your belief tonight, if they win, the crisis deferred. If they lose, the crisis resumes.
Exactly. Deferred's the best word for it, like until the next crisis, because that's around the corner. Like, I mean, unless Arne Slot has a terrible start for Liverpool, I'd say Ten Hag could very much be the first manager to go this season.
There's a great line that there's a team in crisis in the Premier League every single day. The goal is not to be that team. And Manchester United have more often than not been that team. And the last two seasons, they've started slowly. Manchester United play Liverpool in 2 weeks' time. It's the third game of the season, and already that feels heading into a international break as though it could be a huge
one
for
Liverpool. Liverpool are not likely to lose their manager early, no matter what.
I don't know.
No, I don't think they'll lose him early, but Jurgen Klopp was one of their greatest ever managers. The connection he had with the supporters, with the city, with the players is unrepeatable. And Arne Slot, in fairness, hasn't gone about trying to repeat it. In fact, he's kept a very, very low profile. They haven't signed a single player. Like, we're used to at this stage, everything's dominated by the transfer market and who's spending 100 million, who's breaking the transfer record. Liverpool haven't done a single thing. They tried to sign Zubimendi, Spanish midfielder, for 60 million. Didn't come off. You'd expect they will go and buy, but they're basically starting tomorrow against Ipswich with the exact same squad that they finished with at the end of last season.
I was watching, you know, Gary Neville and Roy Keane and the gang talking about Liverpool, and the line was that they will defer buying. If they can't get the guy they want, they won't bring in a kind of a lesser substitute. They will hang on in there. Is that really...
Well, that's arguably the mistake Manchester United have made time and time again. They didn't get the player they wanted, so they went with somebody else, such as Casemiro, 40 million, 5-year contract, and everyone went, why? Because they couldn't get the players that they wanted, and then you're stuck with them on a huge wage bill. there's probably more ifs and buts and maybes about the Manchester United squad than there is around the Liverpool squad. If the Manchester United squad all play to potential, their ceiling is very high. But we haven't seen enough from Erik ten Hag that he can get that out of them.
It goes to show the job that Jurgen Klopp did, because he left a great squad. Yeah. Alex Ferguson didn't in 2013, and that was the problem that David Moyes had from the start. But Arne Slot is in a good position here with the squad he's left. The only thing I was thinking there, Nathan, when you were talking about Slot in the start that he might have is it going to be Roy Hodgson? Are we in danger here of the 2010-11 season where Hodgson was gone by Christmas? Before that,
I think
actually.
Arne Slot is a different person. Roy Hodgson tried to lower expectations and overdeliver. Football fans don't want low expectations. They want you to come in and tell you this, everything is going to be great. They don't want to say, patience, but we'll build this over years.
Isn't that important for your squad as well? I remember hearing Johnny Giles talking about Mourinho, and that the only audience he really had was his own players. No matter, he was talking to the press, but he wasn't really talking to the press. He was talking to his own players. So you've really got to do that. If you go out and say, you know, we're going to take it steady as she goes and hopefully we'll get her, what kind of message is that to your players?
Yeah, and that was the faithful thing that Roy Hodgson did. He said, this is going to take quite a while, and they just got worse and worse. And listen, he didn't inspire any great enthusiasm or energy. And I do think those top clubs want managers with a bit of energy, something when you're now spending an insane amount of money to go to these games that you feel like you have that connection, you feel like you're getting something back. But it's going to be a struggle again, because the number we're going to hear once again more than any other this season is 115, the 115 charges Manchester City are facing. They've won four in a row. No team has ever done that before, going for five in a row. And I would say 99% of predictions you're going to see are that Manchester City will win this title again.
Yeah, and they're saying that Haaland is going to be the top scorer this year and there's virtually no competitor. But that whole question of the financial fair play thing that's hanging over them, how do they disentangle that? Suppose they find against Manchester City and all the rewards that they have accrued on foot of what they've done, do they forfeit those to have to pay back all the money, lose points, forfeit their record?
We don't know, Pat. It could be as little as a points deduction. It could be relegation, and it could be all of the above.
Plus. But is it an appalling vista, so appalling that they won't do it? You know, the law is supposed to be
the
law.
They will have to do something. And maybe it's a one-season hit. Maybe they deduct them 40 points this season. And Manchester City are so good, 40 points will probably still see them finish in mid-table. Yeah. The retrospectively going back and awarding titles, like last, it's only a few weeks ago, it was at the Emirates when Manchester City and Arsenal went to the final day. It doesn't mean the same to Arsenal fans if you turned around and said, we're now going to give you that title. Now, these are more historic issues where it'd be Manchester United and Liverpool who are getting the titles. It'd be just an extra number. You've missed out on the moment. But there'll be, I'm sure, a huge financial side to this. It's just what points deduction they go with. And Manchester City are throwing every possible resource they have.
These are hollow things when you're talking about Rob Heffernan, the Olympics, or Sophie, or
Sonia
in the three Chinese women. If they were all disqualified Sonia gets the gold.
No,
years,
I can't imagine
later.
Liverpool or Manchester United.
It's hard to have an open
top
parade like with a retrospective title. But it's hard to know. I mean, like, I feel like there's a strong feeling that Pep Guardiola will leave at the end of the season. People will forever accuse him of what he left when it happened, 115 charges, that, you know, they were implicated finally. But that's from like 2009 to 2018, those charges relate to. So it was the start of the Pep tenure as well. That it includes.
Okay. Now, you mentioned just briefly in passing Arsenal and what they might inherit were City to be penalised. Mm. What about Arsenal's prospects this year?
I'm not sure. They got Calafiori, the Italian defender, in. So that gives them more options at the back. They're actually quite strong defensively. He can play at left back too, even though he's a centre half. I don't think they've strengthened up front. And I just don't buy that they have a regular striker. I think there's too much emphasis on Bukayo Saka. He plays all the time, as people know. Martin Odegaard for creativity in midfield. Right, Declan Rice is undoubtedly added to Arsenal's quality in the middle of the park. But I just don't think you can rely on Gabriel Jesus for goals, and certainly not the backup strikers.
We all took too much joy during the summer in Declan Rice's failings for England and maybe underestimate how good he has been and important for Arsenal. But again, I feel the transfer window should shut before the season starts, because
it's mad.
Like, the prediction is totally different if Arsenal go and sign Ivan Toney from Brentford, who they've been linked with for 60, 70 million. Suddenly they have a striker who might get them the extra 10 goals that they
when
need.
When does
overall.
The transfer window actually close?
Right at the end of August. So there'll be pretty much three rounds of games played before the transfer window finishes.
That seems unfair.
It has been for a long time. The Premier League wanted that shut before the season started, but none of the other major leagues in Europe agreed to it, so they just didn't bother in the end. But yeah, it is very difficult to predict, like Nathan says, because like Arsenal could sign a superstar and then they will win the league.
Okay, so top four.
I think Manchester City and Arsenal are nailed on, and then you're into the pressure race of Liverpool, Manchester United, Chelsea, Tottenham, Newcastle, whichever three of those don't make it, like their managers are probably going to be struggling to stay on at the end of the season. I think Liverpool, Chelsea as the rest of the top four.
I mean, Liverpool and Tottenham maybe, Pap. It's really hard to tell. Chelsea signed a million players. Newcastle financial restrictions are all over the place.
Okay, finally, Soat. You know about Soat? Semi-automatic offside or Soat or whatever they pronounce it. That's going to be implemented after the break.
Yeah, I'm surprised at this because generally they say it has to be in for the full season so that there's a fairness that what if the biggest decision happens in the first match between Chelsea and Manchester City. It's worked in the Champions League. It speeds thing up. But like, I always think people
the
get
promise
confused
is they
between
use artificial intelligence and oodles of cameras and they'll have three-dimensional
images
decision. And so on. Yeah,
it's an instant decision. It speeds the game up. I just think people get confused between VAR and the offside. Like, offside is not subjective. VAR, the problem with VAR is it's still a human being making the decision at the end of the day. Offside has always been, they'll draw the lines. The problem is it took too long. People were getting confused. It's 5 minutes later. It looks terrible that it's an inch. This will actually just speed things up. The game moves on and we can all get on with our lives.
Okay, and that's being implemented, as I say, after the break. It'll be interesting. It'll cause as much controversy, I suspect, anyway.
Yeah.
All right, look, guys, thank you very much for joining us. Colin Bowick and Nathan Murphy, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.